Yeah, a very good afternoon to yourself, and thank you very much for joining in. And this is Under Radar.
While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some time from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the Radar News Analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relations, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia, make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. This is Matthias Angala, and thank you very much for tuning in this afternoon. I trust that you have enjoyed your lunch so far. And this is On the Radar, and I trust that you and I this afternoon are going to have a very, very productive session. Okay, so we are zooming into the issues pertaining to education in reference to a recent discussion which was quite recently held. And zooming into education as well as education and climate change. So now let us look at the issue of education, the progress, the persistent inequalities, and the promise of lifelong learning. Right? So now, as per the United Nations Sustainable Development Goal 4, that SDG is seeking to ensure that inclusive and equitable quality education and the promotion of lifelong learning, as well as the opportunity for all in education. So now the question still remains, is education in Namibia, open for all? Does everybody have an opportunity to ensure that they continue with their education? Of course, looking at various aspects, for example, continuous education in terms of those who fell pregnant, those who fell out of the age categories required to be attending full-time school. Also considering the fact that the literacy promoters sometimes are falling back in terms of payments, where we have received a report of those, some of them who have been not receiving their payments on time and so forth. So now in light of that, the question still remains, is education in Namibia open for all? So now we are discussing this because we understand that education is not only a fundamental human right, but we also understand that for us to be able to alleviate or to reduce poverty as well as inequalities which exist in our society, and also to strengthen communities and enabling individuals to adapt rapidly to the changing world, we need to ensure that education is our priority number one, and that is in terms of investing in education infrastructures, the design, for example. We know that the climate in Namibia is changing rapidly. Sometimes there are floods, and speaking about this, bearing in mind that the water which is caused by the flood, we need that water. We need to come up with water harvesting initiatives so that those schools can engage in agriculture in terms of teaching the learners as well as students on how to engage in agriculture. Of course, that will require a huge investment in terms of coming up with F dams and so forth. So now, let me taking you to the Namibian Constitution is most especially Article 20, which actually guaranteed, or it speaking to the right of education for all. Okay, the right of education for all. I mean, this right is enshrined in our Constitution, most especially at Article 20, Subsection 1. And Subsection 2 actually speaks to the compulsory of primary education, to say that the state shall provide reasonable facilities to ensure that this right is effective for every resident in Namibia by establishing and maintaining state schools, okay, at which primary education shall be provided free of charge. So now, if you link that subsection with subsection 3, it's saying that, which is saying that children shall not be allowed to have to leave school until they have completed their primary education or have attained at least age 16, whichever is sooner. So now, it's the very same article which also enshrined the right for Namibians to institute and maintain private schools, just by ensuring that they are registered with relevant authorities and that they are the education they are offering is not inferior to those to the public schools. So now, it is this very same article which is fundamental towards the guarantee to provide the foundation of an inclusive education system. Okay? So, yet the right to education extends beyond access to the classroom. Okay? And it also encompasses the quality of learning, quality and equal opportunities to participate and succeed, and opportunities to continue learning throughout life, one's life. Okay, so having that in mind, we are seeing that the climate is changing. Sometimes you have a lot of floods, and then these floods is actually impacting the learning process, because during those moments you are going to anticipate that some of the children are going to miss classes, and that speaks to the design of the schools. But where are the schools located? Are they strategically located? Bearing in mind that a lot of the schools are located in rural areas, so are they strategically located to the point that children will be able to access them even during flooding? Because we are faced with a persistent issue. Every time there's a flood, then we come up with relocation centers, and we need to feed those people, the learners, the community members who are now accommodated at relocation centers. And then year in, year out, whenever there's a flood situation, we are facing the same issue. It's like if we are not planning accordingly, having contingency plans in place, it seems like this situation is going to persist, because match the amount of funds which are used, match the amount of funds which are used to provide food parcels to those who are relocated at relocation centers, and match them with the development which we need to come up with. to ensure that the designs of the schools are, you know, strategically located, you know, to prevent the impacting of the learning process during flood. So now, not only that, and also to come up with storages, because now you have to understand that a lot of water which is which we are receiving during flood is not harvested. I mean, a lot of it is absorbed through evaporation, and statistics are showing that only about 2% of that water make it to the other underground surfaces. So now you have, you know, some regions in Namibia, as well as such as Zambezi, and then you have Angwena, Oshikoto, Oshana, which are flooded, which receive enormous amount of flood. And you also have some regions in Namibia which are semi-arid. And during dry conditions, those schools, experience very harsh conditions, dry conditions. So now, the question still is coming in to ask that, what are we doing with the water which we are receiving through the floods? So now that speaks to the investment in the infrastructures, the storage infrastructures, that is the earth dams, with the plan, of course, to use that water for irrigational purposes. You know, have to understand that we are at war. And the war we are fighting is a war, the war against poverty, inequalities, as I mentioned earlier. And we can only win that war if we do so much when it comes to investing in educational infrastructures. So now, the school grounds are supposed to serve as the catalyst to serve as a battlefield for that war. So now, the water we are supposed to harvest, we are supposed to teach those learners how to engage in agriculture by engaging in enormous agricultural projects. Okay? So now, should we do that? Should we invest in that? We will be able not only to attain theoretical results, theoretical outcomes, but also practical ones, because learners are going to gain knowledge on how to engage in agriculture. I mean, this will also, encourage them to participate in agriculture. So, going forward, lifelong learning, as per the, you know, as per UNESCO definition, is a foundation for sustainable development, where it is supposed to be a continuous and voluntary pursuit of knowledge and skills throughout an individual's life. So now, we are seeing in Namibia the situation have been we have been having a high number of school dropouts and school leavers, some of them who dropped out of school through grade 10, even though there are some avenues where they can continue with their education. But many are those who preferred to attend full-time classes. But there is always an age limit. There is always some restrictions to prevent those from continuing with that, those avenues, which I thought were supposed to be waived, and for them to be able to become optional, to say, okay, do I want to go to full-time classes, or do I want to go to NAMCOL? Do I want, there must be plenty of choices. This education system is supposed to be user-friendly. Okay? It's supposed to be user-friendly. And in that way, we will be able to attain, you know, we will be able to attain a desired result, which is to say that we have an educated society which is able to participate in innovation and be able to move along with the changing technological world in terms of now artificial intelligence. Okay? So now, this type of learning actually extends beyond traditional schools to include adult education, to include professional development, vocational training, and personal enrichment. So this is the type of education which, you know, make people understand that they just don't need education for them to be able to be employed by others, but they can also, you know, attain this education and go out there and become entrepreneurs so that they will be able to, you know, to unleash or to unlock the opportunities which are available within the market. Okay? So, by fostering literacy, adaptability, as well as the continuous skills development, lifelong learning actually enables people to respond to the changing social, economic, and technological, as well as environmental circumstances, while supporting their personal and professional growth. And the importance of lifelong learning actually extends far beyond the individual, since it is essential to addressing poverty and hunger. You know that hunger is still recorded in our country, and as well as responding to climate crisis. You know, for example, training the school learners, school-going children to say how must they respond. For example, if the flood comes, it comes at the moment the children are at school. Whenever they are going back home, what must they do? How must they respond to that? You know, that speaks now to the investment into the drills for those children to know how to respond to those situations whenever they occur. Okay? So, planning and also engaging in that is also important, so that you prepare the residents beforehand. Okay? So, and that will actually foster peaceful and inclusive societies, as well as preparing communities for the future. So, this journey begins in childhood, not only in childhood, but in early childhood, laying the foundations for the learning throughout life, as societies and economies change. You know, the world is changing every moment, and you know, you would agree with the statement which says, if there's anything which is permanent, is change. Everything keep changing every time. Okay? So the ability to upskill and the reskill becomes increasingly important. Otherwise, some of the skills might be facing out anytime soon if people do not reskill and upskill. So, now, let's quickly speak about the need to invest in Namibia's education. And when I'm speaking about the need to invest in Namibia's education, is not only the responsibility of the government. Okay? It is the responsibility for all of us, you know, the private sector, the individuals, the government, and so forth, you have to understand that you are in the public sector. You know, if the more the people who are earning income in that country, the more the opportunities are out there for your business to flourish. So now, if you don't invest, you don't take time to invest in educational infrastructures, you are doing yourself a disfavor, because probably in your area there will be a lot of, I mean, few people who are earning decent incomes. And that basically means that your market share will be little. And if that is the case, it will force some businesses, some companies into bankruptcy, because they will not keep up with the operational costs. Okay? So, now, when it comes to the investment in education in Namibia, in pursuit of the Sustainable Development Goal 4, the Namibian government has adopted policies and legal frameworks aimed at improving access to education that now include the sector, the sector policy on inclusive education, and which was introduced in 2013, the Basic Education Act, and introduced in 2023 by the ministry. The then Minister of Education, Arts and Culture, and you know, the government introduced free universal primary education in 2013, and free universal secondary education in 2016. So now we are saying free, but probably parents are still requested to make some contributions, you know, contributions. And with some arguing that the education has become very expensive nowadays, with each school, there is no blanket approach. Each school have its own policy, own fundraising policy, and, you know, It became very, very disorganized. Some of them are arguing like that. And I remember speaking to one of a parent who once told me that it was better when the school was being paid, because now every time you are being requested to do this, do that, do this, do that, and there is no uniformity. Okay? So, but I think the biggest problem is that those funds, some of them are not audited by independent auditors, and sometimes there's no clear cut information as to how were the funds utilized. So the government introduced free universal primary education, and these measures have contributed apparently to increased school enrollment, and particularly among marginalized and vulnerable children. So between 2017 and 2023, enrollment increased by an average of 2.9% per year in primary schools and 2.1% in secondary schools. That is according to the Ministry of Education, Arts and Culture then, that was in 2023. Okay, that is according to that ministry then, okay? So while these increases point to broader participation in the education system, changes in enrollment figures may also reflect, you know, participation in the education system, okay? So that is now when it comes to the enrollment because of the free education which was introduced. Now this While these increases point to the broader participation in the education system, okay, changes in enrollment figures may also reflect population growth and the revised basic education curriculum. So now, population growth is one key element which is a thorn in the flesh, because the population is growing, but there is no match with the number of infrastructures which are constructed every time. So now, according to me, it was supposed to be like this. We need to collect the number of children being born on a daily basis, and that is countrywide, and then use that to develop a proxy system. And now this proxy system must be able to give us indicators, you know, certain indicators to say, okay, those children who are born in the hospitals per day this year are this much. So now, this will help us to indicate how many schools we need to build more in order to cater for those children, to say by the time they will be at the school going age, then we have all the necessary school classroom infrastructures which are needed for them to be able to be accommodated. Now, this is not happening. This is the reason why you see that even though there is a lawful demand for children to be provided with education, primary education, which is compulsory, so at times it's not happening because there are no infrastructures. You see, the teacher-learner ratio in Namibia is at 1 to 42. 1 to 42. So now, which is a lot, because, I mean, you can imagine a teacher in a classroom with 42 learners. It basically means that she won't even have anywhere to walk within that classroom. So now, if she won't be able to walk around and see how everybody is progressing, she might be required to go further, to go ahead and teach when some learners are struggling with the school activities, with the classroom activities, and who do not understand. So basically, this means that it's impacting the learning process. You see? So, that is also another obstacle which needs to be addressed. So now, like I said, that the investment cannot be like prioritized by the public. By the public sector, but also the private sector as well as private individuals. So now, how can we do this? According to myself, we have to come up with laws which will serve as avenues to make it easier for the business community to invest in education. So, how are they supposed to be designed? They can be designed in the way that are speaking to the incentives the business community is supposed to receive once they invest in educational infrastructures, to say, okay, if you are a business and you are willing to assist by constructing educational infrastructures, by buying chairs and desks, for example, then all you need to do is to submit that invoice, to submit your receipt which you have paid. And in the end, whenever you are submitting your returns, you are going to get a certain percentage from your tax. Okay? You are going to get a certain percent from tax, off from tax. So basically, in practicality, it means that it's both the same. You give us money, we build school, or you build schools on your own, then we give a discount. You see? Is in practicality, it's both the same. So now, I mean, this will serve as an incentive and at the same time also, contribute towards educational infrastructure acquirement. Okay? So that is one suggestion. And we also need to do away with this current practice where whenever a business person go out there to the community and they would like to invest in educational infrastructures, then they are requested to provide their party membership, for example. We heard of these issues where they are requested to confirm what is their party membership. And according to me, this is hampering development in the country because, you know, according to me, if a person is genuine in what they are doing, they are legitimate in what they are doing, they are not doing it for any other purpose, they just want to help the community, they just want to participate in charitable activities, I mean, this is welcome. Okay? This is welcome. And there's no need, I mean, to request a person to say, prove to us which party membership you belong to. Okay? So, I mean, this type of stereotypes, or how must I call them, exist, but they are working against us. Because at the end, we will still have children who are being taught under trees. Okay? So now, building on these reforms, the government announced 3 tertiary education for the first time, undergraduate students and technical and vocational education and training students, with implementation beginning at the beginning of this year. However, concerns were raised. Concerns were raised that the minimum standard of tertiary education providers could exclude some prospective beneficiaries from the policies. That is according to Alberts, who conducted some research in 2025. So, the other concern is regarding funding. Education in Namibia is expensive, and the question is, who is going to cater for those funds? Should they have been waived? Because a lot of people, even those who are in arrears, were allowed to register at the beginning of the year, but their outstanding amounts are not waived. You see? So, Namibia also devotes a significant share of its national budget to education. For example, for the financial year 2025 to 2026, the government allocated about 24.8 billion to education. And that is representing about 23.4% of the national budget, and equivalent to 8.9% of the GDP. So this exceeds minimum in the national targets of 20% of national budget. Okay? So, now, let us take time to speak about education and climate resilience. So, climate change is adding another layer of vulnerability to the Namibian education system. Like I said earlier, that flooding can disrupt schooling. It can also damage classrooms and other infrastructures. It can also restrict access to schools, and it places also additional pressure on already vulnerable communities. So now, this is particularly significant in flood-prone regions such as Ohangwena, Zambezi, Oshikoto, Oshana, Omusati, as well as Hardtap. Okay? So, now, on the 25th of July 2026, reports indicated that approximately 65,000 people have been affected by flooding in Ohangwena and Zambezi region, with about 44 primary schools among affected facilities. And such events demonstrate that ensuring access to education also requires investment in climate resilient infrastructures and disaster preparedness. That is now according to ResearchGate. Now, the schools need to be designed and maintained with increasing climate risks in mind. And this includes improving drainages, protecting water and sanitation infrastructures, ensuring access to safe and reliable electricity, and making school buildings more resilient to flooding. And also using them to harvest water. So communities should also be supported to develop preparedness and response measures that minimize disruption of the learning when extreme weather events occurs. Okay? So now, climate resilience is therefore not separate from achieving Sustainable Development Goal 4, and it is also increasingly important as one of that, of the component of that SDG. And when schools are damaged or inaccessible, it basically means that children lose out on the valuable learning time. And those already facing social and economic disadvantages are often the most affected and most severely affected. So building flood-resilient schools and strengthening emergency preparedness can also help protect educational continuity while safeguarding the broader investment Namibia has to make in expanding access to education. All right? So this is a particularly important. It's very important when it comes to the fact that climate climate change increase the frequency of extreme weather conditions. We are going to break for a commercial break, and we will be right back after this.
Need some help with the groceries this month? Then YouSave has a competition that is just for you. Every Friday between 1 and 2 p.m., Eagle FM will be giving away a $500 YouSave voucher. To stand a chance of winning the $500 YouSave voucher, all you have to do is follow Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, X, and Instagram, and be on the lookout for the weekly competition question. YouSave, where good food costs less.
All right, welcome back. And should you like to join the discussion here this afternoon, feel free to do so. The telephone number in the studio 083-288-401 is our studio telephone number. You can come through and join the discussion on education and climate resilience.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye. Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano.
Right, welcome back. And while on that note, let us speak quickly regarding the report on the National Council Standing Committee on Agriculture, Environment and Natural Resources and on Health, Social Welfare and Labor Affairs on the joint oversight visit to assess the impact of floods in the Zambezi region. With the assessment which was conducted actually on from the 28th to the 30th of May 2026. So now the standing committee was in Zambezi region, it was on the ground, and it was conducting meetings with various stakeholders. So now, in terms of Rule 151 of the standing rules and orders of the National Council, the functions of the Standing Committee on Agriculture, Environment and Natural Resources are to deal with questions falling within the ambits of offices, ministries, agencies and public enterprises dealing with agriculture, land, water, environment, forestry, tourism, mines, energy and marine resources. So now, it's on this ground that the Standing Committee engage communities, community leaders, in Zambezi region, especially in the villages of Namiyundu and Luhonono, Malindi and Lisikili, so to assess the floods, the flood waters which forced families to abandon their homes and seek temporary refuge in schools as well as higher ground. So now, the committee's duty was to go there, assess the situation, collect the data, and report to the National Council as well as to the National Assembly. Okay? So, now, it's also for this, for that reason that when I spoke to you about the disruption of the learning process, you see now that a flood in Zambezi region actually disrupted everything. people have to leave their homes, have to go to high ground, to have to seek refuge to high ground because the water was actually flowing from Zambezi up into Namibia, as it is happening in the northern part of the country. Water flows actually from Angola, and it flows facing the Etosha National Park. So now, let us also speak regarding now since now the climate change increases the frequency and severity of extreme weather events, so now education systems must only prepare children for the future. We have to do everything to ensure that children are prepared for the future, but we have to also elevate the discussion to the level of children, for example, to the children parliament, for them to be able to make decisions, they themselves making decisions which are affecting them. Okay? So, because sometimes we discuss issues regarding children and we don't call them into the room, or we don't call them into the discussion table. But of course we have to be mindful of what we have to say to children. So we have to elevate the discussion to bring it to the level of the children for them to be able to understand it, better. So it's for that reason that we have to encroach that component into the discussion, okay? So now, they must also ensure that schools and learning environments are equipped with to withstand the challenges that future generations might encounter. So, ultimately, a resilient education system, it is one which will continue to provide education for all, in a very safe manner, in a very safe way. It's one which is inclusive, and inclusive, I mean, prepared and ready to also cater for people with various disabilities, people from disadvantaged communities. We have a lot of communities in Namibia which at the very beginning did not prioritize education, and who prioritized animal husbandry, for example, or who did not just prioritize anything, because according to their nature, they are actually nomadic people. So it's for that reason that we have to see to it that the education actually encompasses and cater for their needs, and cater on how to one of the project was actually trying to understand that they are actually civilized, because nature, the human activity is working against them, the cutting down of trees due to industries, due to human activity, and now because the trees are cut down, now the forests are not supportive anymore. They are not supporting them anymore because they are not there anymore. And that basically means that you are going to expect wild animals to go a bit far away from them. Okay? Far away to seek refuge elsewhere. And to them, that is food. So how do we, cater for their needs. We have to ensure that we educate them to the point that they understand that the reality is on the ground. Okay? That the forests won't be able to support them any longer, and that wildlife conflict is something serious, because we are inhabiting the wild animals' territories, and now they are thinking of protecting their territories. And so we need to do much when it comes to educating them on what to do in those situations. So now we have to ensure that the education is inclusive, okay? So not only that, but also quality, and the quality of the learning, of the learning process that is very much competitive and can be able to lift as many people out of poverty and address inequalities which exist within our society to date. All right? So integrating climate adaptation, disaster risk reduction into education planning can therefore help also Namibia advance both SDG 4 on quality education and broader sustainable development and climate resilient objectives. All right? So, not forgetting that we all of us need to invest in these initiatives, not only the public sector, but also the private sector, as well as individuals. We need to seek avenues how we can meet ourselves halfway, but of course that requires dialogue. It speaks to dialogue. We need to consult and suggest how can we make this work. I mean, I like to say that the private sector is not willing to invest. Like I had a discussion this week that there's one of a retailer which reported that it actually made about 10 million in a month. Okay, but when I look at the activities this retailer is doing in Namibia, I will not get any. There's none. There are no reports of this retailer actually sponsoring any event, building anything. It's just a retailer which is making money. That's all. But if I look in South Africa, this retailer, I saw it written on the T-shirt of a certain team. And then I was asking myself, what are we doing? Don't we have strong laws to actually coerce some of these entities so that they can also start acting, you know, in terms of corporate social responsibilities? Okay? But of course, we have to continue that discussion on another day, because right now we have to pave way to give the mic away to the next program, which is a temoletu. And it comes from our Ndangwa studios. And from myself, Matthias Angala, we shall meet again tomorrow at the same time. I promise you that keep tuned, keep locked on for more content coming from through our website, which is www.eaglefm.com.na, as well as our mobile app, which is available both on Android as well as on iOS. Simply go to your Android, go to your Play Store. If you have an Android phone, go to Play Store, search for Eagle FM Namibia, and download or install, or go to Play Store, to the App Store, search for Eagle FM Namibia, and there you have your app. All right, from myself, bye bye for now.